Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 37 of our Journey with Jesus, a Lenten reflection. Before we get started, we invite you to look below in the description area and find the two links. As always, they are there for you. The first one being the Lenten calendar, which has all of the daily scriptures from this 40-day journey. And the second one is our study guide. We call it the companion download, and it's linked down there for you, and it contains all of the study guides for each one of the days of this Lenten journey. So with the business end done, oh, I'm so excited about today.
You're a tease.
I am. I love this particular subject matter that we're going to be talking about today. And we kind of hinted at it over the last few days. It would be instructive for you if you go back and listen to day 35, where we intro this whole subject of the triumphal entry of Jesus in Luke 19. Luke 19 is the scriptures that we used, but it's actually detailed in each one of the Gospels. So we encourage you to, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to day 35. And that will give you the full scoop on what is leading up to what we're talking about today. This is the Holy Week, and on Wednesday, we don't actually know what the Lord did. So, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little side trip here and address Luke 19, one particular section of that. And I think my lovely wife, she's itching to read this. She's looking at me like, are you done yet? Can I read?
Because you know I love reading out loud. I love praying out loud. I love all those things. So
you do.
I love this
and
word.
You do such a good job.
It's good. And especially after having a discussion about it, it's very impactful. So this comes from Luke 19, 41 through 44 in the New King James Version. And it reads, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had only known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." It's good.
That's some serious business right there.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful if you try and image this in your mind. Here's Jesus. He has very specifically, and if you read back in Luke 19, it tells you that he specifically arranged for this. He sent his disciples in to pick up this colt, this foal of a donkey, and bring it to him so he could ride it in, which evidences he knew the prophecy in Zechariah. And he was arranging to fulfill it very specifically. Why is that? Well, in all of the other Gospels, you see the story of him riding in and the multitude of disciples around him worshiping and saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You see the Pharisees getting upset and telling him, "You should silence your disciples." And Jesus' gentle and accommodating response saying, "If these should hold their peace, the very rocks would cry out." But none of the other Gospels detail what we just read. In the other Gospels, if you're reading, you kind of get this sense of it's a glorious day and there's celebrations and there's all of this stuff. And then you read in Luke, and he's weeping over the city. That kind of paints a totally different picture. Why in the world would Jesus be weeping over the city? If you understand the Jewish culture at that time, this was the time of the Jewish Passover, and every able-bodied male Jew was supposed to be in Jerusalem at that time. A lot of experts believe that there could have been over 1 million Jews in Jerusalem at that time. That kind of gives you a little different picture. It says the multitude of his disciples was going with him and shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But the majority of the city was totally ignorant. And then he makes that statement, "If you had only known the time of your visitation." That's a little pointer that something else is amiss. And I think the Holy Spirit put it there to point us to something. How in the world were the Jews supposed to know the time of their visitation? Because that's what he's making reference to. Well, this takes us to one of the most amazing prophecies in the Old Testament. And that is Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It's a huge thing. I encourage you to get the daily download because we detail all of this stuff out and we break that prophecy apart into little pieces. Essentially, what you'll find out is that the angel Gabriel gave Daniel a prophecy that very specifically says that from the decree issued by Artaxerxes Longimanus in 445 BC that allowed the Jews to rebuild their city and their wall.
Nehemiah.
Yes. Which allowed Nehemiah to go back and lead the Jews into rebuilding the wall and the city. From that decree until the Messiah, the king, would be 173,880 days. Now, there's some math involved. I won't get into all of that. There's
Don't
very specific details. But when you take the 173,880 days that the angel Gabriel said would transpire between that decree and the coming of the Messiah, the king, do you know what day that turns out to be? That turns out to be the day that Jesus climbed on that donkey and rode into the city of Jerusalem to the day. So the Jews and the Pharisees should have known that this was the day that was promised to them for centuries, and they didn't know it.
It's very much like what we're seeing now. I would like to equate it to that. It's sad. Jesus was weeping over that fact. And here we are, so distracted by everything that's going on in the media all over the world, evil, demonic, and we're told to just accept it, let others live the way they need to live. And we've become so conditioned by accepting it. So it starts out just, okay, that stuff's going on there. But then it starts to encroach upon our world and everything in our lives. And the enemy is there distracting us and keeping us from God and conditioning us so that it becomes okay or so numb to it that we just let it happen. Now it's running rampant. Anytime you turn on anything in the news.
Oh, so evil.
And it's all over the world. It's not just one country.
No.
It's not just in, you know, our backyard. It's everywhere. So it's sad, but that's what came to mind when, you know, we discussed this is, you know, we better right our minds, right our hearts, right our lives, because as we discussed yesterday, we don't know when that moment is that Jesus is coming back. So we better be in on the right side of things.
We better be ready, and we better take God's word as seriously as he does. He says that he honors his word even above his own name. That's pretty serious, because God takes his name pretty serious, and he honors his word even above that.
And when we talk about writing our own, you know, writing our lives and our minds and our hearts.
It's not doing.
No, it's being in the word, being in a relationship with God, being around. Not that we don't, I'm not going to say we shouldn't be around people that are not believers, but we should, you know, we need to love everybody, but we need that core, that fellowship with believers mm-hmm. is so essential because they get it.
Yeah. Well, and we just need to follow the example of Jesus. Jesus loved everybody. He would eat with tax collectors and harlots and would love on them. But when he withdrew, who did he withdraw with? His disciples.
And God.
And God. And he would always go back, and that was his core group. People that he was discipling and training and spending that time with, he knew that he could trust them. And then he even went further and separated himself from those, his core group, mm-hmm. and went and just went with the Father.
With the Father.
Yeah.
Well, and during this Lenten season, you hear people, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but people look for things to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And how about we give up the evil that's going on around us? How about we tune that out, turn off that noise? You know, we talk about clearing the clutter. That's really deep clutter that we should be shoveling out.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would encourage everybody next year or anytime. I mean, Lent is not just, it is a season where we want to draw closer to the Lord as, you know, we journey to the cross. He journeys to the cross. We're with him during that whole time, but it should be something that we're doing all the time. We should be giving up those things that are cluttering our heart, our lives, our minds, our families, and drawing closer to the Lord, being in the Word. It should be something that we're doing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do have focus during the Lenten season, but it should be something that's always.
Well, yeah, and it's just like any precision instrument. You use it all the time, but you make sure it stays in calibration. You always are adjusting, fine-tuning, making sure that calibration on that instrument is accurate. That's what we need to be doing. And that's, I think, what it's a good time to go in for your annual calibration during this Lenten season.
Yeah. And it was interesting when you said that. I thought of, you know, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. So when we're in that fellowship, that's why it's so crucial. Because I know when you and I spend time together, we're sharpening each other. We're challenging each other. We're thinking of things different ways because we have different perspectives. And we're sharing that, and it just sharpens each one of us in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were talking about calibration, I thought, well, and sharpening and honing and
yep.
all
yep.
of those things. And it's not a doing, it's a clearing of stuff.
So that you can be
sharpening, so that we can be vessels for God to use. So
yeah.
Use me, Lord. However I'm supposed to be used.
Yeah, and that's like the whole focus of our ministry is to clear that clutter. Yes, that's a doing, but it's doing so that you can be with the Lord.
And it's not doing so for our salvation.
Without distraction. No. No.
I mean, that's, you know, so that needs to be very clear. It's doing to, because it just makes us, I have more peace, and I know I feel God's love when
mm-hmm.
when I do that act of clearing the space. Because if your heart is all cluttered and all squished with ick and gunk, you know, it's like clearing out, I don't know, engine, you know, something in the engine, you have gunk and stuff in there, got to clear it out because it's not going to run well.
Yep.
And so, you know, we can pour so that Holy Spirit can shine bright
mm-hmm.
inside us.
Yep. And, you know, steering back to that's the importance of the Word, because it shines the light on those areas that we may have missed.
And like, whoa, it's those aha, whoa moments when you are in the Word.
Oh, yeah. And how can you know the Lord completely if you don't know the Word? You can't. You can know of Him, but you can't really know Him.
He's given us His autobiography.
He has.
Right there.
He's told us everything about Him. He's told us how He operates. He's told us what He's given us. He's told us what He's made us to be. If you don't know those things, you're in trouble. This world will chew you up and spit you out.
And as we were reading, I guess what I didn't realize when we started this journey, mm-hmm. as we're writing and digging into the Word and comparing and contrasting the Gospels,
mm-hmm.
like I didn't realize, it was like they were all there. I mean, we know they were there, but they were in different areas and they heard different things, saw different things, had different perspectives on, mm-hmm. you know, the same event. Like we talked, you put five people in a room, they're all going to see an event differently.
And remember it differently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because it comes through the lens of their experience and their personality. And
well, it's like when they do the crime scene.
Yeah.
You know, where they talk, they interview mm-hmm. people at a crime scene and everyone's going to, you know, remember certain things or different things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing to compare, which I did when I was preparing some of my writings for this,
mm-hmm.
to compare the different gospels and you get something different out of it. But I didn't realize, I don't know why I didn't realize it, that there's four different sampling of things that you can look at. And I know I have my favorite. I know Matthew is always going to be my favorite, but he's very, very detailed.
Yes, and he is.
He has a lot of stuff in there. And sometimes looking at another one, you're like, oh, that's okay. I get it. But sometimes Matthew gets so into the weeds where I'm a little confused. So sure. Comparing and contrasting really helps expose what God wants to share. And, you know, Jesus using the parables and the different ways that things are written, it's so, I think it's to draw us back and to keep us discussing it. Because mm-hmm. if it was just spelled out crystal clear in blah, blah, blah language, we might put that aside and not dive in as much, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think what we fail to realize sometimes is the Lord was trying to describe things that we have no ability to relate to. You know, the parables he used to describe kingdom principles, spiritual principles, and he would always try to use stories and situations that we could relate to teach us things about the spiritual kingdom.
Hmm.
That we had no way to relate with because we hadn't been spiritual beings ever.
And it's interesting because they're not just a one and done. You can discuss, no. You're like, well, wait a minute. I didn't even think about that. And and you can read it again. And depending on what's going on in your life, you're like, oh, whoa. There's another whole thing there that
I can take from that. The word is alive and active.
It's so cool.
It doesn't ever run out.
I love the parables.
Yeah.
I don't always get them right away. And I have to read them again, and then we have to talk about it. And
do some more studying.
And do some research, which
and
is...
that's the fun of it.
I like it. I'm saying that out loud, that I'm liking the things that I used to look at you and raise my eyebrow.
Yeah. Reader, beware. The word will capture you, and it will totally...
It's contagious.
Yes, it is. Infect you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things I wanted to point out from this Daniel parable or this Daniel prophecy, getting back to that, is the seriousness of the word. We've been talking about that a lot and the importance of the word and how seriously God takes his word. Jesus wept over the city. He knew the prophecy. He was with God when God gave Gabriel the prophecy to take to Daniel. The interesting part is after... it tells the exact day that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on the donkey. What does it say? It will be in the detailed notes, but you can read it for yourself in Daniel chapter 9. It says, and the Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself.
Mm.
So contained in the very scriptures that Jesus would eventually hold Israel accountable for knowing, was the fact that they wouldn't know and that they would kill him. Because that word cut off, the Messiah being cut off, that's the Hebrew word kara, which means executed.
Mm.
The very scriptures that told the day that he would arrive also foretold that they would miss it and that they would execute him, but not for himself.
Mm.
So in that one little sentence, Jesus arrives on the exact day he's supposed to.
Okay, now people, he's really excited about this.
Yeah, it's
he's
amazing.
He's just lit up if you can see him. He's like,
it's amazing because in that scripture is contained the prophecy of his arrival, the fact that they wouldn't recognize him and they would execute him, and the gospel that he wasn't executed for himself.
Mm.
The gospel is... he was executed for us. Mm. That's amazing.
Good.
And there's so much more. It goes on to talk about how the city would be destroyed. And just as Jesus prophesied on that mountain, as he's riding the donkey in, he says, not one stone will be left on another. You would be that completely leveled. Guess what happened? 38 years later, Titus and three of his Roman legions rolled into Jerusalem, surrounded it, and destroyed it, and did not leave one stone left on another. Just exactly as Jesus said.
Mm-hmm. And for those that wonder why we read the Old Testament, this is why.
It's incredible.
Well, it tells you, I mean, there's nuggets in prophecy and things that we're supposed to know. And
well, and what it does to me, for me.
And hope.
Yeah. What it does for me is it shows me just how amazing our God is. He knows the end from the beginning, and through it all, he has told us what to expect. And in those
things, get out of our way.
Yeah, in those, yeah, we're stumbling over our own feet, trying to make it from one day to the next.
He's but like, God's like, I told you.
I got this. Yeah. I told you guys it's going to happen this way. It's all going to be okay because you're my child. I love you. And I'm greater than all this. So just trust me. Read my word. Know that I meant what I said. I said what I meant. And it's all good. So just keep your head up. Keep plugging along and doing what I've told you to do.
Or keep your head down in the word.
Well, yeah, that too. Yes. Well, I read the word mostly on my screen. So that's head up.
There's that.
There's that. So, brothers and sisters, we love you and we encourage you. In this Lenten journey, remember who it is that you serve. Your dad is amazing. Your heavenly Father is awesome.
Amen. Amen to that. So, would you love to pray us out?
Oh, is it that time already?
I know.
Oh my gosh, I could talk about this for weeks.
I know, you're
going to
get chills and you're going to be...
Yes. Yes, I would love to pray us out. Will you join with us as we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much tonight. We thank you, Father God, that there are so many nuggets in your that you've tucked away in your word to show us just how amazing you are. To show us, Father, that there is nothing in all of time, past, present, or future, that has escaped your notice. You have planned all of these things, all of our steps through all of these things, and you have told us in advance that even though all of this craziness is going on, that you are right there beside us and you are walking through it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that you use this message tonight to open our eyes to the reality of how serious we need to take your word and how very detailed and very precise you are in there. We thank you, Father God, that Jesus rode into that city on the donkey and was crucified not for himself, but for us, so that we would have this opportunity today to come into your presence and to just bask in your love. Father, if there's anybody that's listening today that doesn't know your love, I just pray right now that you invade their space with your presence. Let them feel your tangible love. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you open our eyes to the reality of your amazing love in a greater way than we've ever, ever perceived before. Help us, Lord, to just receive that love to overflowing and share that with everyone that we encounter each day. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, and we thank you for all of these things in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's kids said,
Amen.
Amen.
That was good.
God is good.
Always.
Always. Well,
should we leave them with some perfect peace?
Oh, yes. Let's. Shalom, shalom, shalom. And we'll see you next time.
We love you.